My name is Tamar. It's nice to meet you this day. Thank you for welcoming me to share my story. Most gloss over it or try to recreate it into something it's not. I can't necessarily blame them. It's not the most moral story out there. But sometimes a girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do to get by. For those of you a little lost, I'm the great, 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 well, too many greats to count, grandmother of Jesus. I know sometimes I can't believe it myself that God would use me in such a story, as part of the family makeup to our wonderful Savior. My story, though, begins a long, long time ago. Feels like it could have been a galaxy far, far away, but just a couple thousand miles away in the land of Canaan. I was maybe around 13 or 14 when the new family moved to the area, the outsiders, as we referred to them. A father, a mother, three boys, though the oldest heir wasn't much of a boy anymore. And I noticed him almost immediately. He had a bit of an edgy side to him. That's what kids are using these days, right? Edgy? A bad boy, so to speak. I'd never really met anyone like him, but he must have been smitten with me because before I knew it, his father came to speak to my father about a wedding. All talk behind closed doors back then, a lot different than today, for I didn't even get a say in it, though I didn't mind. It was the way things were done. While I'm glad it's different today, we didn't know any different back then. We just went with the flow. A few months later, once the deal was made, property exchanged, we were married. Seems like a blink of an eye now. I felt like we barely had any time to enjoy a honeymoon, and he was gone, taken from me. I never quite knew why, but I had a feeling it had something to do with his bad boy side. I'd finished the days of mourning when Judah, his father, came to talk to me. He explained that it was customary in their tradition that if a husband dies, I would then be given to the next son. Something about raising up children for heir. It was all a little confusing to me, and I didn't know what to make of it all, but I knew it was better than the alternative. To be sent to my father's house, where I most likely would have lived out the rest of my days alone and desolation and poverty. Judah gave me a little bit more time to mourn over heir. And as I think he was mourning himself, he wasn't ready to move on either. Before he gave me to be Onan's wife, to raise up children for heir. Onan was a bit younger, in a sense of his maturity anyway. He was the one who liked to tell inappropriate jokes, was annoyed by his father's dead ancient custom, as he called it, and jealous of the possibility of children he helped produce for his dead brother getting his inheritance instead. Sure, he liked to enjoy me and use me for pleasure, but he always spilled his seed. At first, I thought it was an accident, but it happened over and over, and I didn't know what to do. If I told Judah, would he believe me? And if he did believe me, would Onan then have taken out his anger on me? I kept my mouth shut. I didn't have a proper place to voice the concern anyway, and well, before I knew it, Onan was gone too. If you ask me, I began to think God was looking out for me on that one. For if that continued with Onan never giving me children, once he died, I would have been out on the streets in desolation and poverty anyway. No better off than if I had returned to my father's house in the first place. But Judah became so upset, more so than when Er died. I could tell immediately his whole demeanor changed. It was cold, rough. He was even a little bit fearful. He told me straight up I had to return to my father's house, that Shelah, the youngest son, was too young, but that he would call me when he was ready for marriage. but there was something I didn't quite trust in his words. I didn't doubt that Shayla was still a little young, but even when I was waiting until mourning for Air was over, I remained in Judah's house. Now he's demanding I return home immediately. I was fearful I might remain there forever, but I tried to trust his words. It was a hard trip returning home. So much had changed in the years I'd been gone. Sure, we didn't live that far from my family, but we rarely visited them. By now, my parents had aged, my younger sisters were out of the house. While my brothers were concerned for my well-being, they were also concerned about what I did to have two husbands die on me. I'm no fool. I know there were whispers that I might be a witch or cursed or something like that. And at times when I got down on myself, I wondered it too. But I didn't count my time with Judah's family as a complete loss. I learned a little bit about this God of theirs. How wonderfully loving and caring this God is. How this God walked with their ancestors and provided so much. So different than the gods we worship in Canaan. Though they didn't always seem to respect this God of theirs too much, often I felt like they were just going through the motions rather than devotion. But for me, I became devoted to this God. I prayed regularly to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, this God who guided them. And I prayed that this God would guide me now, be with me, protect me as I returned home, wondering what might become of me. Would I ever really marry Shayla? Would I raise up kids for myself, for Air? Years passed by, and during that time, I heard my mother-in-law passed away. I wanted to go to the funeral, but my father said it was a bad idea. I needed to wait until I was called. I was hurt. I didn't get to properly mourn for this woman who treated me so well, like a daughter, when I lived in the house. I remember there were tears in her eyes the day Judah sent me home, and I knew they were more than just mourning the loss of her second son. They were mourning the loss of her daughter, even if it was just to be temporary. Though with her death, I have to admit, I feared I would never see Judah or Shayla again, that maybe she was the one who would have tried to hold Judah to the promise. Word on the street was that Judah was coming up to shear his sheep, something he'd usually do once a year himself, though on occasion he'd send one of his servants. I think this year in particular, he wanted to get away, get out of the house where everything reminded him of his wife, visit his old friend who first welcomed him to the area. And he was bringing Shayla with him. I thought for a bit about what to do, how I could confront him, but that wasn't appropriate for me, a woman, to do. My father didn't seem as concerned as I hoped he would. He mentioned he'd go and talk to Judah, see how much longer before Shayla was ready. But it also wasn't a part of our custom. My father didn't really know how to enforce it. Caught between a rock and a hard place, he couldn't give me to someone else, as I was still, in a sense, owned by Judah. Who would want me anyway? But dependent upon Judah giving me the okay to return as well. I decided I might need to do something extreme for my own safety and security. Like I said before, a girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do sometimes. I removed my widow's clothes, put on a veil, wrapped myself up pretty well, and went to sit out by the city gate and wait. Before long, I could see Judah and Shayla coming down the road. Shayla was grown by now, yet there was still no call for me to return. No whispers of them coming to get me to return with them, nothing. They drew closer, and I could tell that Judah didn't recognize me. He rather thought that I was a prostitute and asked to have relations with me. This was more so to be the plan B, but I decided to go with it as I feared there was little hope of me returning to marry Shayla. So I'd asked what he'd give me. Some sheep, he said, but he didn't have any with him. So I demanded a pledge. I'm no fool. I asked he'd give me his staff, his signet and cord. This would be like me asking for his wallet, his driver's license, birth certificate, social security card today. These were possessions that were clearly his and couldn't be confused for anyone else's. And he agreed. We had relations, he went home, he and Shayla, leaving me still at my father's house, never calling on me. He tried to send his friend with the sheep promised, but I, playing the role of the prostitute, was nowhere to be found. Changing my clothes back to my widowhood, and the townspeople all insisted to Judah's friend there hasn't been any prostitute here. So the friend went away, never to return again, looking. Thankfully, a sign from God, I was pregnant. I knew God didn't leave me. I knew God was with me. But in 3 months' time, word spread like wildfire to Judah that I played the whore. Judah was furious, sending messengers on ahead demanding I be burned to death. An extreme reaction when normally it would have just been a stoning for such an offense. But I sent back his belongings, his cord and signet and staff, with these messengers asking that Judah pay close attention to who they belong, for that is the one that got me pregnant. I kind of wish I had gone with them. I would have loved to see the look on his face, but it was a bit safer for me to stay behind. I didn't hear the words firsthand, but I've been told he said that I was more in the right than he was, more righteous in what I had done compared to how he had kept me from Shayla. I praise God for those words every day, words of righteousness and justice, restoring me, saving me. This man who held all the cards had all the power. Now realizing he couldn't play me for a fool. Now realizing he didn't just wrong me, but he was wrong before God. Sure, the means about securing my life weren't the most moral. Some would argue they were rather very inappropriate. But what would you have done in a similar situation? What would you have done if you knew remaining where you were living, taking no action, doing nothing, would lead to sheer poverty, oppression, and death? Would you remain stuck there, figuring there's nothing that can be done, losing all hope? Or would you act? Whether it meant breaking laws, risking your life, playing a role you never imagined before, one that made you quite uncomfortable yourself, what would you do for survival? All I can say is that God spoke through Judah that day when he claimed I was more righteous than he was in the way that I acted. Those words were enough to restore my soul. They were enough to comfort me. They were enough to know that God is truly with me. Those words got me through some pretty tough times, especially the labor and delivery of not just one son, but two twins, Perez and Zerah, my two beautiful boys, my miracles from God, as I like to call them. This hope that I was now safe, no longer having to worry about who would care for me, my two boys growing in the house would take care of me. No longer having to worry about poverty or oppression, about begging on the streets, not just for enough to get by, but begging for my life. And I hope that one day justice might come for all in mightier ways than it has come for me. Perhaps like the hope spoken in Mary's words, this beautiful mother of Jesus, my great, great, oh, too many greats to count, granddaughter. Sometimes I think a few of those words speak to my story as well. Certainly my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, the mighty one who has done great things for me. God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He brought down powerful from their thrones, lifted up the lowly. I thank God every day, not just for saving me, but that I might be a part of such a wonderful story, redeeming my brokenness with the world's brokenness. What a mighty and powerful God it is that we worship. Hallelujah. Amen.